All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from the Borough of Queens in New York City, as usual. This is the 29th of March, 2022. Do you like to remind you, I write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. Chen Lin publishes a letter that I read all the time and think is very, very worth its price. It's called What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? ChenPicks.com is the place to go to sign up for that. Chen is a frequent guest on this show, maybe on again very soon. And today we have Michael Oliver, and whenever he's with us, I like to remind people that his website is OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com, to sign up for his very important Momentum and Structural Analysis letter, one that I think you don't want to be without if you're a serious investor. I do want to thank all of you for listening to this show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel, and encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about our show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. I also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Today's sponsors, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hand and Metals, Firefox Gold, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining. I've titled today's show, The Dollar Approaches Its Threshold of Lethality. Alistair MacLeod, Michael Oliver, and Patrick Highsmith are today's guests. Alistair has recently pointed out that the Fed, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Japan are now themselves becoming insolvent. As interest rates rise along with surging inflation, the massive debt they purchased to stimulate their economies is declining in value, resulting in the balance sheets of those central banks themselves displaying positions of negative net worth accounts. Insolvent central bank balance sheets began to emerge before Russia invaded Ukraine. Now massive sanctions against Russia, keeping it from trading in dollars at a time when supply chain constraints may be much greater even than those created by COVID, that threatens massive shortages of essential commodities on the global markets, which in turn threatens prospects of dramatically higher inflation and a temptation on the part of central banks to print more and more faster and faster in an effort to suppress rising interest rates. That is certainly the kind of policy that can usher in hyperinflation and an increasingly worthless currency. President Biden talks of a new world order with the U.S. leading it, but that may not be possible because creditor countries like China, not debtor countries like the United States, end up owning the world's reserve currency. The hubris of American financial and political leaders seem totally oblivious to the pathology of their massive indebtedness. But their arrogance won't change the laws of economics. Because America has chosen not to run, or because it has chosen to run, not to run trade surpluses, but rather to consume today with little regard for future generations, the U.S. borrowed trillions of dollars to build a superior military. And by driving interest rates down and handing out credit cards like candy to middle and lower income groups, America has basically shot its wad, and now the time has come, I'm afraid, that the piper must be paid. But for those of us who have not bought into the deceitful policies of our ruling elite, we knew a day of reckoning would arrive sometime in the future. Eventually, countries like families can't live beyond their means forever. Corporations got rich by offshoring jobs to developing low-wage countries, the largest of which is now a primary adversary of the United States. And now that country's primary ally, Russia, is playing the same nasty game the United States has played by demanding their oil that they sell be paid for in their own currency. And like the U.S., it is using its military to try to enforce that policy. The current problem in the U.S. is, of course, exacerbated by snowflake Marxist indoctrinated recent college grads who are seeking to shut down the West's own ability to produce the lifeblood of modern society, namely oil and gas, as well as nuclear energy. Alistair will be with me in the second half of today's show to explain why attempts at resetting one kind of fiat currency system for another fiat currency system, and even why Bitcoin and other fiat currencies cannot replace actual money, which is limited to gold and silver, are therefore likely to fail in their efforts to make currency changes and currency resets. Owners of gold in the ground, like Timberline Resources, which appears to be on their way to making a significant Carlin-style high-grade gold discovery in Nevada, should be in a much stronger position than those who have put their faith in our counterfeit dollar. And Patrick Highsmith will be with me to explain Timberline's exciting Eureka gold discovery in Nevada. He'll be with me right after our first commercial break, but right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is here. Once again, thanks for joining me, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
It's good to have you. Now, I have to ask you, this equity market, it never goes down, Michael. We have, I think we're still in a bull market in equities, huh? Looks like it. Yeah. I was listening at lunchtime today. There were guys saying, yeah, it's time to jump back in there now on Fox Business.
Our work argues that you've likely seen the top, and that would be late last year. Then you started down, and then we had the war event. I've been in the markets for but roughly half a century, and so as a young kid growing up and watching the action. And whenever people enter a trade, especially late in the trend, and try to go based on war events, pop up occasionally, they're usually wrong. It backfires on them. It sucks in the wrong kind of investor at the wrong time. So what we had, unfortunately, for the bear side of the stock market was, by the time we got into late February, we had the events in Ukraine starting to unfold 5 weeks ago. At that point, the stock market made a low, and then it repeated that low in early March, and then turned up. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's when gold also made a high. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that surge in gold that we had into early March, late February, early March, which was fully technically justified. In fact, back in November, our works said that we're coming out of the congestion, we're going to go back up. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, we were starting back up, and then the war event occurred, and what happened? You had late comers probably putting on initial positions at very high levels based on one assumption, war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, like it's going to continue forever or whatever, all kind of implications. Mm-hmm. Well, and they did the same thing in oil and a few other markets, and they're going to pay for it. Well, they did pay for it. Gold dropped $150 from its high in early March down to a low a week or so ago, then rallied about 60, 70, then came down today and broke through that low. So flushed it out by $10, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Silver did the same type of thing. It made lows in the about 24.50s a couple weeks ago, rallied back up, and came down today and got to just above 24 for several hours. Now it's back up, pushing at 25 again, by the way. I think that the sell-off that we've had in gold and silver since early in March is largely a flush out of latecomers who are buying gold for the wrong reason, who bought gold for the wrong reason. And if they did, and if they were sensitive and they leveraged especially, they're out. They've been flushed. Today's action certainly helped do that. And once we flush them, then I think we go back to normality again, meaning the larger fundamental and technical issues that are driving gold reassert themselves. Now, what's another interesting observation, I think that's a correct assumption on my part, is that the stock market has done precisely the opposite. So all those folks who are looking at GDX, the gold miners, and they're looking at the stock market, thinking, if the stock market goes down, GDX will go down. It didn't. It went up. It peaked almost the same day that S&P made its low, March the 8th, low close for the S&P. GDX made a high. And the S&P's had a nice rally, and GDX has had a not such a deep pullback at all, more of a congestion zone. In fact, today we're back above 38 again. We're less than a point from the high close of the entire surge we've seen. So that's another lesson, okay? Forget this assumption that the stock market enters a bear trend, that the gold miners are going to follow. And they're not. Okay. War events suck in bad money, and I think we just flushed them. And I think what we're doing in the stock market is those who sold short the stock market in late February, early March, some, you know, way 500, 600 points off the high that occurred late last year, were latecomers, and they've been flushed out the other way with the rally in the S&P. Our short-term work suggests that you might be seeing the rally high in the S&P today or tomorrow, and likely you saw the pullback low in gold and silver today. We haven't got the full upturn yet on the short-term stuff, but it looks that way to us. So, but again, they're opposites. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And I think going forward, if the S&P, for example, after this teasing rally, which if you look at a price chart, no doubt has sucked a lot of new longs in, thinking, oh, the war's over, we're going to go back to normality again.
Yep.
That's all I hear on the financial channels. If that doesn't turn out to be the case, and you start slipping back down again into the 4,400, 4,300 on S&P and so forth, they're going to realize, you know, what is this? That breakout was false.
Yeah.
Because on a price chart, you took out some recent highs. Not the high high, but you took out some recent highs on the S&P, and no doubt caused a lot of shorts to cover and a lot of new longs to join in. So I think there's a lot of confusion here generated by that Russia-Ukraine thing. And people wrong on both sides of the equation.
Well, Michael, I heard one analyst explain that there are a lot of fund managers, hedge fund managers, maybe mutual fund managers as well, that have taken a lot of have sold a lot of their equities and built their cash, but they can't be seen to hold cash at the end of the quarter, and so they're back in buying this week. That could have been a fundamental reason why the market is stronger this week. But you know, once March 31st is passed, you could look for some some selling. So I've been thinking maybe we're going to see some weakness. But I have to ask you, with this, of course, also we're into a higher interest rate regime, an interest rate market, and you made a call which I've been waiting for a long, long time. You know, many times I've asked you, you know, when are we going to have only one left safe haven, that being gold? And you're sort of hinting at it. Well, you said TLT is broken. The long bond is broken. It's broken down. Do you think this is a long-term event?
Yeah, I think it's a long-term event. There could be flash rallies in the T-bond market. Now, you've got to remember what maturity we're talking about. T-bond futures are 30-year, okay?
Yeah.
Most of the bonds that folks focus on are long-term bonds, meaning 10-year. The case of the U.S., that's called 10-year notes.
Yeah.
In the case of Japan, it's JGBs, Japanese government bonds. They're 10-year, or the bunds in Europe. Now, technically, the annual momentum trend of those markets has broken down, meaning price down, yields up. And you can even see it on some of the price charts, long-term price charts. I found an interesting event the other day. The JGB, while we're the hawkish over here, which won't last long, I don't think. But the JGB is totally dovish, and they said, we will spend unlimited, it was the word they used, amount of money to defend the yield curve and buy the 10-year JGBs.
Oh, my goodness.
We put out a report on JGBs about a week ago showing their annual momentum trend breakage. I'm curious today to see what happened after that JGB statement, very bold statement. It was lower in price than it was when we did the report, despite the fact that they declared they would spend unlimited amount of funds to support that market. I love it when governments become impotent, okay, because they created the distortion. When it comes unraveled and they can't stop it, they go into panic mode.
Yeah.
And effectively, the BOJ is already there. So.
Yeah, that's so the market's sniffing out inflation, perhaps, I guess, right?
Yeah, and you know, the vulnerability of these debt instruments that had been the alternative, like you said, another alternative for asset managers to park money in times of uncertainty. So over the last couple of years, it's been true. They bought T-bonds at the same time they bought gold. Now, that is no longer the case. You look at a T-bond chart and a gold chart, they're opposites. So they've divorced. Yeah. And now it's basically, I think, gold and silver markets will be at the fore again.
All right.
Another advantage of those markets. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, gold and silver have had a major sideways congestion.
Yes.
It really has been sideways if you look at the charts. That's not true with a lot of the hot commodities. Mm-hmm. A lot of these hot commodities like oil and so forth are vulnerable for corrective or congestive processes. But gold and silver have already undergone that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fresh to go up again. They're not extended. So I think it's their time.
Okay, well, let me just real quickly, Michael, you put out something a few days back on Bitcoin, or maybe it was just even yesterday, I don't know. You're sort of suggesting if Bitcoin gets to a certain number by the end of this week, there may be some upside to it.
Yeah, it's crossed the intermediate trend. We went bullish 3 weeks ago. And then we crossed some numbers that we can call longer-term trend indicators. Intra-week, we've crossed them this week. I prefer to see the weekly close above those certain numbers, and we're above them right now, but it's only Tuesday. So, it looks like Bitcoin's trying to base and turn here. And I think this week's close may say something, but it's a little early in the week for that. To close over the key numbers as of Friday. So we'll see.
I'm certainly watching to see what happens by the end of the week, Michael. Thank you very much for all you do. This is a good reason, folks, why you should consider subscribing to Michael's letter. You can make money, and I have in the past at times done very well with Michael's work. And so I want to thank you, Michael, for spending time with us again today and for your insights.
You,
they're very valuable. Very valuable. Thank you so much. Well, folks, we do have to go to break. Don't go away, but because Patrick Highsmith will be with us to give us an update on Timberline Resources. Wow, it looks like they've hit into some real good Carlin-style high-grade gold mineralization. I think this is a story you're going to want to keep your eyes on this summer as the company begins drilling aggressively in Nevada. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Patrick Highsmith.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.